Let's off the edge of the throne. There were lots of prints there, some of them Mr. Hatchett's, some of Mr. Pilgrim's, and some of the French blokes. This Mr. Ormerin. They seem to have had blue paint on their fingers, which was useful, but this set is Garcia's again, and I found it on top of the others. Bailey produced another photograph. I got that from the drape.
Garcia,
said Alain and Fox together. I reckon it is, said Bailey. We'd never have got it if it hadn't been for the clay. There's no prints on the knife, but there's a smudge of blue. You may remember there were the same blue smudges on the throne and the easel ledge that was used to hammer in the dagger. Now, this print we got from the bit of paint rag that you suggested was used to wipe off the prints. Some of the paint on the rag was only half dry and took a good impression. It matches the paint smudges on the knife. Blue.
Garcia's.
That's correct, sir.
This about settles it, Mr. Alain, said Fox.
That Garcia laid the trap, I agree with you, said Alain, and I'm going down to Brixton.
Is that a joke? Asked Fox suspiciously.
No, Fox.
Brixton? Why Brixton?
Sit down for a minute, said Alain, and I'll tell you. The following afternoon, Alain turned wearily into the last land and estate agent's office in Brixton. A young man advanced upon him.
Yes, sir, what can I have the pleasure of doing for you?
If you will, and if you can, tell me of any vacant warehouses in this district, or of any warehouses that have let part of themselves to artists. As you will probably have guessed, I'm an officer of Scotland Yard. Here's my card. I'd better show you my list of all the places I have already inspected. The list was a long one. The blonde young man ran through it, muttering to himself.
Now, there's Solly and Perkins, big place, and there's Anderson's Shirt Factory, and Blacker and Lampton's Used Car Depot, that's in Gulper Row, opposite the prison, quite in your line, Inspector.
He laughed shrilly.
Damn funny, agreed Alain. Lecker and Lampton's foreman was in here the other day. He's taken a house from us. Now, he did say something about there being a lot of room round at their place.
Could you give me the foreman's name?
McCully's the name, Ted McCully.
Thank you very much indeed, said Alain. He departed hurriedly. A fine drizzle had set in, and already the light had begun to fade. Alain turned up the collar of his raincoat, pulled down the brim of his hat, and strode off in the direction of Brixton Prison. Lacquer and Lampton's was at the far end. It was a barn of a place, and the ground floor was half full of spare parts. Alain asked for Mr. Ted McCully, and in a minute or two a giant in oil-soaked dungarees came out of a smaller workshop, wiping his hands on a piece of waste.
"Yes, sir?"
he asked cheerfully. "I'm looking for an empty room with a good light to use as a painting studio," Alain began. "I called in at the estate agents. They said you might have something. Have you any vacant rooms that would do to paint in?"
"Not here, we haven't, but it's a funny thing you should ask. You see, there's a bit of a storehouse round the corner that would do you down to the ground. Skylight, paraffin heater, electric light, plenty of room. It was taken by an artist like yourself, a gentleman by the name of Gregory."
"Is he in his studio this afternoon?"
"Hasn't been there for 3 months. He's in Hong Kong."
"Indeed," murmured Alain. "Would he sublet, do you know?"
"I don't know whether he would, but he can't. He promised the loan of it to someone else."
"I see. Then somebody else is using it?"
"That's where the funny part comes in. He isn't. Never turned up."
"What was this other man's name, do you know?"
"Have I heard it now?"
ruminated Mr. McCully, absently accepting one of Alain's cigarettes.
"Wait a bit now. It was a funny sort of name. Reminded me of the rubbish van."
"Garbage?"
"Garbage. That's the name. Or nearly."
"Something like Garcia, perhaps?"
"That's it. Garcia."
"Look here," Alain said. "I wish you'd just let me have a look at this place, will you, in case there is a chance of my getting it?"
"Well, suppose there's nothing against that."
Mr. McCauley got a key from behind a door, hooked an old tarpaulin over his shoulders, and led the way out of the garage by a side door into a narrow alley. It was now raining heavily.
"Nasty weather,"
said Mr. McCauley.
"It's only a step."
They turned to the left into a wider lane. McCully stopped in front of a pair of rickety double doors fastened with a padlock and chain.
"Here we are, sir. Just after Dick, and I'll have her open. She's a bit stiff."
The key grated in the lock, the chain rattled, and McCully dragged the reluctant doors back in their grooves.
"Darkish,"
he